The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
Welcome to the Play Action Podcast. I'm Lance Lysowski, joined, as always, Catherine Fitzgerald. Catherine, we've got another rainy day. I guess that is pretty perfect for the topics that we're going to be talking about. It's the passing game again. That's a very, I guess, pertinent topic to start off with. And we're at that point where people aren't sure who's to blame. So the finger's getting pointed everywhere in terms of what the fans think is wrong with this offense.
Yeah. Emphasis on the fans. I think internally they're still like, we're good. Yeah. Passing game's good, which I don't know. I think there's work to be done there for sure. But like you said, there's different factors at play for it. It's not just one obvious thing that they can fix.
Yeah. You see the frustration, like Josh Allen, like, at this point, what's he going to say post-game? Like, he's not the type of person to point the finger at somebody else. He pointed the finger at himself.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think that, you know, from the outside, people like to oversimplify. It's got to be this person, that person, this group of people. But it really, there are problems across the board, right, that's leading to some of these issues. And it really starts with those first downs. You know, Joe Brady told us on Monday that he regretted not calling more passing plays early in the game. He kept trying to run the ball on first down. James Cook had 6 carries on first down in the first half. He gained 20 yards and fumbled.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting hearing Joe Brady's comments on Monday, just talking about, you know, what he did regret, what he thinks isn't working. And it's, you know, different than what people are just saying when they're like, it's Joe Brady himself. That's all there is to it. I don't think that's true. I think there are things he can be doing better for sure. But I think, you know, I like his approach of what he tells players is, if the game goes well, that's because of you guys. It's the players. If the game goes poorly, that's because of me, the offensive coordinator. I think that's a really important level of accountability that players are going to feed off of.
Yeah. I mean, like, Josh Allen has missed some throws. He hasn't played like that superhuman, like, people have gotten so accustomed to the play calling. Like, Joe Brady's admitted there's been times, you know, he cut out all those wide receiver and tight end reverse plays, but some of the other issues, there's other issues at play here. And at times, receivers just aren't getting open. You know, Josh Allen had plenty of time to throw against Miami. Some of it, the Dolphins were disguising their coverages before the snap. So once the ball was snapped, what he thought he was going to see changed a little bit.
Of course.
It creates a layer of indecisiveness. But also, yeah, like, the receivers need to be better, and it's going to be interesting over the next few days here to see if Joshua Palmer's going to be back from his injury. He seemed to be very close to playing in Miami, and
yes,
we're going to see Gabe Davis before long. It's inevitable.
Gabe Davis is inevitable. Like, yeah, I mean, it seems like they just have such a tendency at this point to bring back guys who know the system. And obviously Gabe's already here on practice squad, just working his way back from injury. I don't think he's going to totally change the offense. You don't think that either.
No. Yeah. And I think that the one thing that Gabe was really good at while he was here was when he knew, while running a route, when Josh was in trouble, when no one else is open. So he would break off his route and understand where to go to present at least a friendly check down target for Josh to go to. Stephon Diggs was very good at that. Right now, you're not seeing that as much in the offense. Some of it's, I mean, Khalil Shakir has been their best receiver, but a lot of his routes are short, intermediate stuff. So he's not going to be able to help in those certain situations. But Gabe understands Josh. Josh trusts Gabe, and especially while they're waiting for, you know, Joshua Palmer to get back from injury. I think they're still trying to figure out the roles for Elijah Moore and Curtis Samuel. Plus, there's just been so much talk about Keon Coleman. I understand some of the criticism, but I think some of it is also like he's not exactly being put in a position to succeed when it's just a bunch of back shoulder throws. Like, it's not just one person. I just think that he's an easy target for criticism because of where he was drafted and the expectations coming in and the other players that the Bills could have selected instead of him. And that's an unfair situation for him to have to deal with, but it's one that's going to follow him until he realizes his potential.
I would agree with that. I think all those factors kind of amplify the criticism of him. I was a little raising my eyebrows at Sean McDermott's comments about him, where, you know, he was asked point blank if he's getting the effort he needs from Keon, and he didn't say yes. Instead, he was saying that Keon knows when he's not getting the right effort. And I think that's very telling that this is a conversation they've had a few times, it sounds like.
Yeah, the consistency has been his problem since he entered the league. He's still young. He's, you know,
oh, yes.
And I'm, you know, I know that people are tired of excuses, but the fact of the matter is he was a raw prospect coming into the league, and it was going to take time. And I understand the frustration on those plays where, you know, people are focusing in on him not finishing a block or him not clearing, running the rest of his clear out route. But still, I think that there's problems across the board here. And this is going to be interesting this week, Catherine, because they're facing another defense that's pretty good that is going to watch that Miami tape. And they're going to say, we're going to force you to throw the ball, prove that you can do it. Are the Bills going to be up for that challenge?
I think especially as they are trending to be without Dalton Kincaid.
Tough.
I don't know that they're up for that challenge. I mean, it's just not going to look as pretty as it looked against Kansas City, against other teams where we thought they had it figured out.
He is so important to when Josh Allen is at his best or has been at his best this season, a lot of that is Dalton Kincaid running these routes that he's getting open against linebacker. Like, who's going to create that matchup problem for defenses? You need that. You know, Dawson Knox and Jackson Hawes are very good blockers, but they're not the same yards after catch threat as Dalton Kincaid. Joe Brady acknowledged after that Atlanta game that he didn't do a very good job calling the game once he found out that Dalton Kincaid wasn't going to play. So how does he respond? Who steps up in this game? I would like to see Elijah Moore involved a little bit more because, no pun intended, but he has speed. He's been a downfield threat in his career, a veteran guy who he had consecutive seasons of 100-plus targets in Cleveland. This is a guy who's played a lot of football. He's somebody that I think, if used the right way, can really help them.
Defense. In between takes, we were talking about how some of this feels repetitive of things we've talked about earlier this year just because of what the team is presenting in that situation. And I feel like we've talked about injuries on defense a lot, but we have to keep talking about it.
Yeah, especially in the way that they lost the game in Miami, getting beat the line of scrimmage. Miami was able to run the ball very effectively. Some of that was missed tackles, but also like their offensive line controlled the game. A big part of that, Catherine, of course, are injuries. You know, Joey Bosa played, but he played with a huge cast on his hand. He can't be as effective. So you're writing about this topic in the Buffalo News for the Thursday paper. It'll be online, of course, late Wednesday, early Thursday. But how they're managing this, I mean, that defensive line looks so good against Kansas City. They lose Michael Hoyt. You know, they might get reinforcement this week, or maybe multiple. TJ Sanders is going to practice.
Yes, they Sean did McDermott. Open his 21-day window.
So, of course, that is a notable addition. It'll be interesting to see how he helps them. We'll see about AJ Epenesa. He missed the game in Miami because of a concussion, but this is a group. They haven't been able to develop any kind of continuity and with that chemistry this year because of so many injuries since really training camp.
I've seen a theory a few places on the internet, so I don't know exactly who to credit it to, but there was such a concern coming into the season with Joey Bosa staying healthy. And it's like maybe the Bills did this voodoo where he's mostly healthy, you know, the club hand, of course, but everyone else is getting hurt. Like, what is happening? So, you know, it's like, what did they sacrifice?
Yeah.
Who did they sacrifice? But yeah, Landon Jackson's now done for the foreseeable future. Sean McDermott didn't want to put a timeline on it, but he tore his knee up. It's not good. And I think it's just kind of figuring out, what do we do? You know, Daquan Jones playing defensive end is not a long-term solution. I credit him for his flexibility there and his willingness to do anything to help the team. But I don't think that's what you want in January.
It is not. And they really showed their potential in that Kansas City game, in large part, I thought, because of what they were able to do in the middle of attacking the middle of Kansas City's offensive line.
Yes.
And Michael Hoyt was a big piece of that. Other guys contributed, of course, but you can't just rely on your defensive ends. In this case, we'll just say Greg Rousseau and Joey Bosa to get to the quarterback every snap. This is a defense that likes to only rush four guys. And to be able to do that, well, you need to win at the line of scrimmage. And Deion Walker, as we've talked about for weeks, Catherine, the highs are very high. He's showing what his potential is, which the Bills have to be overjoyed about, just considering the injury coming in, getting him in the fourth round. But there's also inevitable rookie growing pains that he's going through. And a lot of that is against the run. And it might not be noticeable, of course, that he's the one at fault sometimes, but he is, and that's okay. He's got to learn from it, but you're relying on him. Jordan Phillips, I thought, played a pretty good game in Miami, all things considered. So, yeah, they are digging deep into their depth. Fedarian Mathis played a little bit against Miami. We'll see if they bring anybody else in this week, but, I mean, they're – you know, they had more guys in for tryouts this week at edge rusher just to try to find somebody who can come in and help this defense.
It is – you know, again, just to be talking about this over and over, I feel for them. Like, yeah. These injuries are nuts. And they've been saying from the start of, you know, we can't just blame injuries. We next man up. But when you next man up so many times, you run out of men to come up.
Yeah, like, as you certainly do. And it's not impacting just the front four. It's also been their linebackers and their secondary. Now, their secondary, we'll see about this week. It was a big loss for them not to have Christian Benford and Taron Johnson against Miami. At safety, Jordan Poyer, there's been some good moments, but there's been some missed tackles as well. For me, Catherine, I think the focus, I know Jay Skursky is going to write about this week, is at linebacker. Terrell Bernard just hasn't looked the way that we're accustomed to seeing him look. Of course, I'm sure that's related to injury. He dealt with the ankle coming out of that Atlanta game. Matt Milano's been back with that pectoral injury, but he also hasn't really looked 100%. They need Shaq Thompson back.
Yeah.
And he's somebody who they brought in May, and you thought, well, they might get something out of him. They might not. But when he's been on the field, you could argue he's been their best linebacker, which is really impressive from his standpoint. And I won't even say it's bad, you know, a bad sign for the team, because you know what? Like, guy's played a lot of really good football in the league, and he's finally healthy. They just need him back on the field, because I think that if he's able to rotate in, then, you know, if Bernard is dealing with an injury or Milano is still kind of working his way back, you can rotate guys in more, because those missed tackles in the run game against Miami were so noticeable. And although Tampa Bay doesn't run the ball as well, like Baker Mayfield likes to scramble, they're going to try to incorporate the run into their offensive game plan because of how poorly the Bills looked on tape coming out of that Miami game. Schedule doesn't get any easier, Catherine. It's funny, like, again, we talked about this last week, how one game can really shift the narratives or shift where a team is at, you know, in the bigger picture. For the Bills losing against Miami, now they're two games back in the AFC East. We really shouldn't be talking about number one seed or home field advantage team. Like, especially looking at this schedule coming up, they got to make the playoffs. Like, you got to keep winning, and you've got to keep playing a more consistent brand of football, because it has been up and down offensively and defensively. And this week is going to be a significant challenge with the Buccaneers coming here.
Yeah, I think this was always going to be an interesting game, but now it's like, okay, who are the Bills? It's week 11. We're still figuring out kind of their identity, and they have to figure that out against this Tampa Bay team that's 6-3 as well.
Tampa Bay blitzes a lot, and so if they're not able to run the ball or really if they get behind the sticks, the Bills are going to be in trouble. You know, Josh Allen's gotten sacked a lot on third down, because you're in third and 10, you know, third and 9 situations, a lot easier for a defense like the one Tampa Bay has for them to come at your quarterback. Plus, they really need Christian Benford back for this game. As much as I like the way that Maxwell Harrison really bounced back after that Jaylen Waddle touchdown in Miami, they do need Benford, because Emeka Ogbuka, the Buccaneers rookie wide receiver, is somebody you're going to have to stop, and he's going to be very difficult to stop. He's a very fast player, and this offense likes to push the ball downfield. And Benford, the way that he's looked in some of these games, he can certainly help them in that regard.
Yeah, I think, you know, we didn't get as much of a sense of how close he was to playing as we did with Joshua Palmer, where it was like, oh, he's close. Mm-hmm. But I am curious if the Bills did try to play it safe with anyone against the Dolphins. Obviously, that didn't work out. I don't think that's super likely, just given their tendencies. But Christian Benford, he's someone that they're going to want back for sure.
Yeah, Taron Johnson's probably, I would say he's probably ahead. Like, you would think he'd be ahead. He had that on-field workout. It seemed like he was probably close to playing in that game. So even him coming back would be a big boost. I think Cam Lewis has played really well, aside from, like, I mean, he told me, like, it's been one missed tackle for him. I think that he's really stepped up and played really consistently throughout the last couple of weeks. But, you know, you've got I think that you can focus in on so much of the issues, but I think one of the silver linings to this defense, Catherine, the last couple of weeks, really since the bye, has been the play of Cole Bishop.
Yes, I think the way he has stepped up and just his consistency has been really critical to this team. He had that big interception against the Dolphins. You know, that's what, his second of the season. Just the way he stepped up. I don't know. I think back to talking to his high school coach where he was like, yeah, we threw him into the fire as a freshman and look at what he was by senior year. It takes time. In this case, it's not going to take a 4-year thing that it did in high school, obviously. And he proceeded a lot during that time. But I think just kind of, you know, he's getting to develop into who the Bills thought he was going to be all along. He just has had to do that publicly, and that's hard.
I don't think it's a coincidence that he's played much better, more consistently, since Jordan Poyer stepped into the lineup, because Poyer, with his knowledge of the defense and experience, takes a little bit off of Cole Bishop's plate.
Yes.
And especially when it comes to run angles or even in the pass. So I just think it's, I think the coaching staff has done a nice job of finding ways to allow Cole Bishop to use his speed and his tat. Like, they put him close to the box. They moved him back. Like, and to his credit, he has been very decisive, and he's made some plays. And because this is a secondary that wasn't making enough plays on the ball earlier in the season. Now you're starting to see more turnovers, and a couple, you know, when it comes to his in particular, it's not like the defensive line really created that turnover opportunity.
Right.
You know, against Kansas City, Joey Bosa pressured Mahomes, and Maxwell Harrison got, I wouldn't say an easy interception, but he had to throw it into double coverage.
Yes.
In this case, Bishop makes a really nice play. So it's just, yeah, this is going to be a pretty interesting couple of weeks, because not only do you have Tampa Bay, then they go to Houston on a very quick turnaround. They don't have CJ Stroud yet. See what happens there. That would make a pretty significant difference in the way that Houston can attack them. But then you've got Pittsburgh. That's
on
not
the road.
On the road, yeah. Not an easy one. They're going to have New England on the road in December, which we'll see if it gets flexed to Monday night.
These December schedule makers,
yeah.
It's so many.
Hey, at least they have to give us some notice, right?
Yes. More so just even, A, the flex, but B, just going to Cleveland in December,
yeah.
Pittsburgh late November. It's, give me a Miami in December again. Not that, you know, me personally is the way they make the schedule, obviously. But
yeah, it's these next couple of weeks are going to tell us a lot, I think, about this team. What was, I'm sure that Jay talked about this on Further Review earlier this week, but the comments post game in Miami about how they wanted it more than us. And it's not, those are usually not the type of words you hear from this Bills team.
No.
How do they respond? This week is going to be very telling.
We will be there for the response every step of the way. Make sure you're reading at buffalonews.com and following along wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week on a short week.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. 4 great Western New York locations: Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's Pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.